Wow. Wow, Dave. Dave Rodman, this is Fast Horses Slow Whiskey. I am Hunter Rankin, Sagamore Farm, joined by Brian Tracy, Sagamore Spirit. And that was the 1997 call of the Preakness Stakes by one Dave Rodman and one guest of this Fast Horses Slow Whiskey. What did you think about that, Brian?
That got my heart going. I'm ready.
Wow. Nails to nails.
It is exciting time of year in Maryland. That is for sure. It is Preakness Week. Huh?
Crab cakes and horse racing.
That's what we do.
Yep.
Awesome. So what do we got on the program today, big guy?
Well, we got a big show, a very, very big show. But first, we want to talk about what's going on this week at Sagamore, this week at Sagamore Rye. We got a lot.
We do. Can we walk through it? You want to take it from the top, what you're doing?
I'll take it from the top. First of all, I want to let everybody know we have had our 11th baby here at the farm.
Congratulations.
The 11th foal.
Mm. Wow.
Did we talk about this last week?
No.
I don't think so. 11 for 11 fillies.
Wow. Batting 1,000.
Fillies. All.
Is that good?
No. Not when you want to win the Triple Crown.
No.
However, we're playing the long game here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fillies. Are you guys done, though?
No, we got one more.
Just need one.
Yeah, but now I'm kind of hoping for 12 for 12.
I think it'd be cool if the last one. No, I think you want one.
Think so?
Yeah.
Where are we going to put him? Mm. He's not going to have a buddy. Because at some point you separate him. We'd have to keep him in Kentucky or something.
Really?
Yeah, with a bunch of buddies. So, yeah, that's
can you go
they
get
learn
him
to
buddy?
Get competitive
can you go
and
get
fight
one?
And stuff. Well, we go buy one, I guess. But we don't have much money right now.
Figure it out. Let's maybe hold a bake sale.
Yeah.
See what we can do.
Bake sale.
That'd be fun.
So, anyway, that's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. That's
you know what the
wild.
Odds are. 50, you called 50, it 50-50.
50-50.
That's wrong.
Okay.
It is 0.5 to the 11th power.
0.5 to the 11th power.
Which equals out to 0.04 of 1%.
Okay. I was told there'd be no math on this show.
0.04 of 1%. And I got to give a shout out to Mike Paradis for giving me that information.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what's going on down at the distillery.
Big week. Big week. Preakness week.
Preakness week. So,
By the way, I'm going to call this out because I know you're too bashful to do so. Sagamore Spirit, Sagamore Rye, the official rye of the Preakness Stakes.
Correct, sir. Correct. Yep. Also, just won double gold. May have already said that, but I don't mind saying it again.
Double?
In the San Francisco Spirit Competition.
Is there such thing as a triple?
No.
Wow.
It is the highest you can get and for our cask strength.
So, in San Francisco?
Yeah, which is really considered the premier spirit competition, the San Francisco
how
Spirit
many, How many medals is that?
15.
Is that good?
Well, we've only been open 12 months. So
that's more than a medal a month.
That's right. Pretty good stuff. So, yeah, off to the races this week. Preakness week, lots of stuff going on around town. Lots of great restaurants and bars getting behind Sagamore Rye and promoting the Black Eyed Rye. Amazing drink. Look for it. Check it out. Really refreshing cocktail.
I cannot wait.
Tours going on all week at the distillery. Fun stuff there. Then, of course, at the starting Friday at the track, we've got some action at Turfside Terrace where we'll be featuring some of these drinks. And then, of course, Saturday, actual Preakness Stakes, we will be Turfside Terrace again featuring the drinks. Look for us, Turfside Terrace. And then Corporate Village will have a big presence, music, games, activities, tons of stuff going on. Come check us out. Oh, and then the grandstand, too. You're going to love this one.
What is that?
Ginger and rye.
Woo!
Go to the grandstands. And
that's my girl.
Order up a ginger and rye.
Yeah.
Sagamore horse, but really refreshing drink, too.
She's amazing. She was supposed to run Preakness Day, and she kind of had a little setback. She's doing great, though.
Good. Well, everybody can go to the grandstand and have a ginger and rye in her
love
honor.
Love her. Love the drink. Love her.
Great. So get out there. Maryland's greatest day. Go get your hats. Go get your bow ties.
The Preakness.
Funny socks, whatever you guys are into.
Totally.
And
the infield is going to be popping this year. I got a feeling.
Gosh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of people drinking responsibly in there.
Not. And
Not.
Are you going to be in the infield?
No. Yes.
Yeah?
Kind of.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay, you go check it out.
I'm going to be floating. I'm going to have a floating podcast mic, and I'm going to interview all the best of Baltimore that day.
Are you really?
Yep. Not really, but maybe.
That could be cool.
I've thought about it.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your take on the race? What excites you?
Well, I want to go to Sagamore first.
Okay.
Because we may have a couple interesting horses.
Oh, do we have something in the race?
No, not the race.
I mean, this weekend.
Yes, we have on Saturday.
This weekend?
On
okay,
Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Chubby Star.
Who's been running great.
Who's been running great, yep. She won at Keeneland last time out. She's going to take her best shot against the boys on Preakness Day in the James W. Murphy Stakes. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Do we know who's riding her?
I think it's going to be Javier Castellano.
What do we think?
I think she's going to have... It's going to be a tough race. It is going to be a tough race, but she's doing very well.
Do you know her
odds
yet?
I think she has a shot. No, but I think she's going to be 10 or 12 to 1.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then we have Recruiting Ready.
Tell me about
going
this.
Going postward in the Chick Lang Stakes. He'll be probably one of five or six, maybe seven horses. The $200,000 Chick Lang Stakes on Preakness Day.
Good payout right there, buddy.
Hopefully.
We know who's riding.
Yeah, that'll be Horacio Caramanos, yeah. The guy that's been on in the last couple of races.
Okay, cool. They have a relationship?
They do.
Good.
And they like
good
each
one?
Other. Yeah.
Great.
Seem to.
And how do we feel about that? Odds are good?
Yeah, he'll be more closer to a favorite. You know, I just love that horse so much. I get so nervous every time he runs.
But. How do you know when a horse is going to be ready? I mean, you couldn't have told me this a month ago.
No, I think it's more they tell you. By
who tells you?
The horse.
How?
Well, they just say I'm ready to run. No. They eat better. They're eating. They're training well. They're getting strong in the mornings. There's all kinds of signs, and every horse is a little bit different. So you kind of get to know the horse, and their little signs might be different than another horse's signs. But that's for Horacio to figure it out.
Yeah, that's what makes him so good.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Okay, what else you guys got going?
Well, we got a big big pre-Preakness Eve party. Sponsored by America's Best Racing and Sagamore Racing, and plug for our coming guest, Dan Torgman of America's Best Racing. We're going to have a big party on Wednesday night at the Mount Washington Tavern.
That's great.
It's going to be a great event, but please go online and reserve your ticket now, because I do believe they're frowning upon showing up at the door and saying you're with that group.
And they're only going to let so many people in.
They are.
Right.
I'll be there. You will?
Sure.
Nice.
Why wouldn't I be?
Sagamore Rye flowing on Wednesday night.
Big time. You savor responsibly.
Savor responsibly. You don't want to drink too much.
Right.
So what we're going to do right now in order to save the show...
Which is
we're
hanging by a thread.
We're gonna go to our first guest, a man who I admire named Dan Torgman. Dan Torgman.
Let's ring him up. Let's go. Dan the man.
We welcome Dan Torgman of America's Best Racing to Fast Horses Slow Whiskey. Can I get a what's up, Dan?
What's up, Dan?
What's up, guys? So is that me? What's up, guys?
What's going on? So, hey, Dan.
How you doing?
We are a big fan here at Sagamore of America's Best Racing. Love the work that you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been coming out to the farm now for a few years. Preakness Week, you all do like a little media event out here. And then also we co-host and co-sponsor, I guess, an event this week that I want you to talk about. But talk about Preakness Week and what the Triple Crown season means to America's Best Racing, and give us a little insight into your whole deal there at your America's Best Racing.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, obviously, America's Best Racing, with best being the operative word, you can't get better racing than Triple Crown racing. And so, obviously, for us this time of year, what we try to do is we try to highlight You know, all the excitement, all the, you know, the scenery, the lifestyle, the drinks, the fashion.
Let's talk drinks.
Everything that you would experience.
Sagamore,
everything, right? I mean, exactly. Well, yeah, I should have specified. But, yeah, no, seriously, we are all about just the full experience. We think racing has something for everybody. And so what we do is we do events at the track. We cover the races in a way that kind of gives people a different perspective so that we're not just focusing on one thing. It's not just about gambling. It's not just about fashion. It's not just about Ryan, unfortunately. It's about a lot of things, right? And so and there are various access points to sport. So what we do is, again, we create videos. We put on events. And like you mentioned, really one of the highlights of the entire Triple Crown season for us is our pre-Preakness party, which is going to be in its fourth year this year, sponsored again by Sagamore, which, you know, really, you know, we love Sagamore. Top to bottom, just huge supporters, and not just supporters in the sense that you guys say, yeah, you know, we support, you know, a lot of great causes. You guys actually really do support all these great causes, and beyond supporting what we do as you know, an initiative to bring in new fans to the sport, we're also supporting Aftercare, and the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, the beneficiary of the event.
That's a great program.
We're super excited about it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, if I can, Dan, you say you host a party beforehand, pre-Preakness Eve. Tell us a little about that, and where can the public get access to it, or how can people get involved?
And where is Rye going to be served there?
Is Sagamore Rye involved?
Well, I believe so. I mean,
yes.
It's a Sagamore event.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. But imagine people are going to be drinking some Sagamore. But yeah, so the event's at the Mount Washington Tavern.
Love it.
Wednesday night starts at 7, so you know, right after the post draw.
I'm gonna throw out an offer right now, Dan. If you, the people out there listening, I'll be there, and if they come up to me and tell me that they heard this offer, I'll buy them a shot of rye. On the spot.
Ooh.
What's the offer? He's saying I listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I get a shot. And
they use a code? Like,
yeah, I was gonna say,
like,
we need a code word. We need a code word like trust more, love more.
Trust more, love more.
Right?
Trust more, love more.
And you get a black eyed rye.
And you get a black eyed rye or a shot of rye, your choice.
Hunter's pain, by the way.
Yep.
I like it. Can I use that code or
you're in.
Yeah.
You're listening right now.
But only one time can you use it.
Yeah, you can only use it once. And you can't tell anybody else or I'll know.
Fair enough. So, yeah, so 7 o'clock, come on out, Mount Washington Tavern. We do ask that people buy their tickets online. It's only $10 to get in, and that $10 gets you a drink, some food.
He hung up on us.
I think we lost him.
He hung up on us.
Yeah, he hung up on us.
Wow, just as it was getting really good.
Yeah, it was getting good.
So
I wanted to change the code, too. I was going to change it to Master Distiller.
Ooh, not too late because he hung up on us.
Ooh, Master Distiller. We're going to try to get Dan back on the line. Let's call him back. Let's call him back, Johnny. Yeah, Johnny, let's call him back.
Mount Washington Tavern. I'd start that at that website, gang.
Yeah, well, here he is. Let's see if we can get him.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
pull over.
There he is. We thought you just
it's
hung,
Hunter,
up,
isn't
hung,
it?
Hung up on us.
It's Hunter.
Yeah. I was,
sorry,
Dan, I was just
that.
Saying we're going to change the code. Instead of Trust More, Love More, it's going to be Master Distiller.
Gets one black eyed rye.
One black eyed rye.
Hunter buying.
Or a shot of rye.
And you were saying, though, before you hung up on us, that they can go online and buy tickets. What's the website?
Yeah, it's on Eventbrite. All you got to do is go on Eventbrite and type in Preakness pre-party. You'll find us there. Again, $10 ticket, America's Best Racing pre-Preakness party presented by Sagamore.
I love it. So, are we not doing a media event this year, is that right?
Yeah, I think this year will be the first year that we don't do the media event. You guys got a lot of other fun stuff happening at the farm.
Yeah, we got a Toba event and we got some other stuff going on, but okay, so tell me about what you do, you know, during the Triple Crown. I know you travel around. I know you're in Kentucky for the Derby. I know you'll be in New York for the Belmont, and I know you're going to Saratoga because we're doing something together up there, which I want to get to. But what's your schedule like? I mean, you're just running around, going to races, talking to people, blogging. Like, what's your day-to-day? what does Dan Torgman do on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday?
I drink a lot of coffee. And
any rye in that coffee?
I answer. Mm-hmm. I'm the sort of guy where if I had a couple of shots in there, I'd be done by one or two, and I can't afford that. It's a combination of things. And with American Best Racing specifically, what I do is I create a lot of content. So we do videos, educational videos. We do a lot of scene setters where we show people, hey, this is what's going on at the Derby. This is why you should make this, you know, this is a bucket list item. This is something you need to experience. Same thing with the Preakness. Here's some stuff going on, Black Eyed Susan Day, that you might not have known about. Just really give people a sense for what's going on at the track. And we do that with sort of with pre-content. So, like, we do written content in which we say, hey, the Preakness is coming up. So go to americasbestracing.net. We've got a cheat sheet for you that'll break down the race, give you information on all the horses. It'll really simplify it for you. How should you bet the race? What should you wear? What should you eat when you're in town on Preakness Week?
Crab cakes.
That sort of crab cakes, of course. And so, you know, all that. And then when we're at the actual events, we do a lot of Facebook Live. We do Periscope because, again, our target here is reaching a lot of people who we know are on their cell phones constantly. So we want to reach them where they are. So it's all about kind of making it easy, making it mobile, letting people pop us up, you know, when they're, you know, when they're out maybe doing something else. Maybe they're on their way to the track, that sort of thing. So, we do a lot of sort of live and social and streaming content, and that's pretty much what I'm doing. I do a little bit of all that at the races, and then, you know, I do a good bit of, you know, walking around, shaking hands, chit-chatting, because I like talking, so
yeah,
do a lot of that.
I love it. So let's go to Equestricon real quick. So what is Equestricon? And, you know, we're a big part of that, huge part of that, Brian.
Really big.
Really big. We are actually the biggest part.
Mm-hmm. Sagamore Rye will be at Saratoga in August. Full effect.
I think we're the keynote sponsor. I don't think there's any bigger sponsor than us.
I heard it's the only rye available.
It is the only rye available there. Is that right, Dan?
There is another
Dan?
Another brand, not a rye.
Oh.
There's another brand.
No, in the Sagamore Social Lounge.
In the Sagamore Social Lounge.
It's the only rye.
The Social Lounge, yes. Sagamore owns the
Social
Lounge.
Yes.
We just high-fived.
Exactly.
Big white guy high-five right there. So let's talk about Equestricon and tell me what the goals are. I know this is it's in its infancy. Is this the second year?
Mm-hmm. No, this is going to be our inaugural event.
I'm an idiot. We are the keynote sponsor of the inaugural event. So tell us what it's designed to do, and tell us what you guys are hoping to get out of the whole experience for everybody there.
Absolutely. So Equestricon, is the first ever international horse racing convention, fan festival, and trade show. So components of all of the three things that I just mentioned. The goal, in simple terms, is to engage and to educate. And it's really just trying to bring fans at every level of the sport, from casual fans, the horse lovers, to the horse players, the bettors, to the people who are more actively involved through ownership or breeding or
And Dan, I just want to point out too, this is not an America's Best Racing event. It just kind of fits in with your all's mission, which is why you are supporting it so much. Is that right?
Yeah, so, I mean, Equestricon is something that I kind of branched off on my own and started with my partners, Catherine Sharp and Justin Nicholson. But all of it comes from the same spirit of trying to develop new fans and trying to develop new owners, getting people more involved with the sport. I should note, by the way, I didn't even list the dates. It's August 13th and 15th. August 14th and 15th are at the Saratoga City Center. August 13th. Is our kickoff day. We'll have events around Saratoga, including opportunities to go to the sales ground, opportunities to visit the Hall of Fame, a lot of cool stuff going on. You should go on the website, equestricon.com, and you'll see the entire program.
That's great. And I'd like to thank again America's Best Dan for joining the program. And again, reiterate too, again on Wednesday, May 17th,
the 4th annual America's Best Pre-Preakness Party at Mount Washington Tavern. Book your tickets online at Eventbrite. Should be a fabulous event. Lots of black eyed rides.
Yeah, and Dan, I want to tell you too. We love what you do, and we're very appreciative of all of America's Best Racing's initiatives and what they have to offer. Love what you guys have done with us at Sagamore, and we couldn't be more happy to be involved this year again. So thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys, and best of luck this weekend as well. Hopefully I'll see you at the party. But either way, I'll see you at the races this weekend, and hopefully we see you in the winner's circle, of course.
Okay, hype this podcast to your 40,000 followers, please. Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you this week. All right, guys, Preakness Week.
Thank you.
Wow, Dan Torgman, what a guy. They do great work there at America's Best Racing. I don't think you've met Dan yet.
You know, I don't think I have either.
But you'll get a chance to
this
on
week.
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Actually, it might be tonight. When this podcast comes out. But I do want to tell you, Mount Washington Tavern.
Oh, great local hangout.
Is it the 17th? Is that the date?
17th, May 17th.
The 17th, yep. 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're there. I think you can probably buy tickets at the door. Can you?
He strongly encouraged online
sales.
He did go online.
He was online.
And that's where the young kids go get them anyways these days. So lots of good stuff happened this week. Mount Washington Tavern. I'm sure Riley's has great stuff, but you're going to find the Black Eyed Rye at a lot of water and holes here in Baltimore. Great, great Preakness drink going into this week. So it's exciting time.
The official rye whiskey of the Preakness Stakes.
It is the official rye whiskey. So again, for those folks at home, I strongly encourage you to check it out. You go to our website, sagamorespirits.com.
We've just been brought a recipe.
We've got a great, but there's a great video online where you can see this drink get made. And, you know, it's 1.5 ounces Sagamore Spirit Rye, 1/2 ounce lime juice, 3/4 ounce blackberry simple syrup. Now, that's one that gets everybody.
How are you supposed to measure this out?
You just have a if you've never bartended, you drink beer.
Yeah.
So,
drinking one right now.
Yeah. So, If you're having trouble with the blackberry simple syrup, you can get it down at the distillery. We sell it there. Otherwise, it's really simple. You know, just basically muddle blackberries into your drink. But it's a really nice touch. 3 ounces of ginger beer, a little bit of mint, and just an unbelievably refreshing drink, especially now that it's warming up out there. This is basically summer in a glass.
I think Dan deserves one after he just came on with us.
Oh. Totally. And hung up on us, though.
He did hang up on us. It was very rude. But he's a good guy. What they're doing at America's Best Racing is good work, getting new people involved in the sport, which we need. So thank you to Dan. Thank you to America's Best Racing. And we are going to go now live to Dave Rodman. Dave Rodman, the voice of the Preakness for the last 27 years in Baltimore, Maryland, at Pimlico, Dave Rodman. We welcome Dave Rodman, the voice of the Preakness, as I just mentioned, Brian, for the last 27 years at Pimlico Race Course.
It's a good run.
It's a great run. Dave Rodman, welcome to Fast Horses Slow Whiskey. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's great to be on with you guys. It's a really great podcast you've got.
Oh, well, we appreciate it. It's the one listener. There he is.
We don't hear that every day.
No, we don't. We've never heard that, actually.
So thank you
very
much.
That's the first time. Yeah. That is the you're the first person ever to say that.
I'll listen to my interview.
a bottle of rye for Dave. I think that might be that.
Make sure I didn't make any mistakes. You
that's
know?
Right. Yeah. That's right. So, exciting time. What do you do this time of year, Dave, to prepare? I mean, I'm surprised you're allowed to talk. Do you have to rest your voice? What do we do to prep?
Oh well, I mean, in 2017, it's pretty easy to prep, because in this age of video and streaming video and recalling video on the internet and you know, going back to replays, you know, you pretty much know the running styles of the horses, but more importantly to me, knowing the owner's silks, obviously, you know, the Sagamore silks. So all I have to do is plug in the name, and it's kind of the same with Preakness horses. You know, horses like Classic Empire with Classic Owner Colors of John Oxley. You know, we've seen those before.
Sure.
And as time goes on, and of course the Calumet colors will be carried by Hence and Term of Art, the black colors, and we've seen those with Oxbow and in the Preakness. And you know, they're just from watching racing, I kind of know the owner's colors, so that's pretty much the scheme of things. There's not a lot I can do until they come on the track.
Yep.
And warm them up. But Dave, do you what they look like?
Do you actually practice, like, you know, I remember talking to Tom Durkin, and you know, he would talk about that lexicon of words that he would have, and like actually like a book of phrases that he would write down.
Onions.
Yeah.
But do you have something like that where you kind of draw from, or is it just all from the hip and you don't care? It's just like you're just out there shooting guns. I mean, it's whatever you want.
I guess in early years of calling the race, from 91 to maybe about 97 or so, it was pretty much freeform. and you know, I've got kind of the liberty to do that in the sense that I'm calling for the track and I'm calling for the simulcast people.
Sure.
And Tom was calling for network telecast. So I was kind of, you know, I have a little bit more liberty to be, you know, who I want to be and be a little more freeform, I would think.
Right.
I do write down ideas, maybe a word or two in anticipation of the pace. But in this game, as you know, everything were written in stone, people wouldn't be breeding and running and horses and wagering on horses, right?
The question is, Dave, I mean, if Always Dreaming wins, will the call at the end of the race be "the dream is still alive"?
Ooh.
The dream is still alive.
Have you been working, on that? You took that.
No, I didn't.
Hunter's not that smart. Like, that had to have been given to him from somebody. Feel free to use it.
I talked to Tom Durkin yesterday, and that's what he said he would do. No, that's a lie. I don't know Tom Durkin.
Well, Tom's going to be in town, of course.
Of course he is.
The horse.
Yeah.
And he's also going to be in town for another function in D.C. So I hope to see him and, you know, maybe make my life easier. You know, slip him $20 and give me a couple words.
Who is, speaking of Durkin, you know, that was honestly one of my idols growing up was Tom Durkin. But who did you look up to as a kid when you were, you know, if you wanted to be a race caller? I mean, who was the guy that you looked to say, you know, that's the one?
as a kid, Galloping George Henderson, my friend.
Wow. He was, wow. Yeah, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when I was in grade school, my dad used to take me to the track in New Orleans when I was a kid at the fairgrounds. And I kind of was a little bit obsessed about race results. And the local AM radio station, it used to carry the stretch call of the fairgrounds races, or at least the feature race of the day.
I remember that. They used to do that in Louisville for Churchill, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the guy on the radio AM station was not the track announcer, but a guy named Galloping George Henderson. He was kind of my first person I remember calling races, because he wasn't up in the perch on the roof where the announcer was. He was kind of in the lower level of the grandstand, kind of like you would be maybe in the box seat area.
Regular Joe. That's cool.
Yeah. But in behind the glass, but people would stand up in front of him. The horses would come down the stretch and he would go, and it's Always Dreaming and on the outside of Classic Empire in there. I don't know. People are standing up.
That's great.
You know, so that was, it was kind of like a hodgepodge call. These are my first recollections.
That's amazing.
And then, the first guys I heard were local guys like Herb Holliday, who ironically worked for the same radio station that I worked for initially out of school in New Orleans. He was an old DJ from WTIX back in the late 50s, early 60s. He actually brought the Beatles to New Orleans. For the first time.
That's pretty cool.
It's Beatles City Park Stadium.
That is cool.
Back then, just getting off on a tangent there. But but the local guys, you know, that I listened to, you know, Herb Holliday and Tony Bentley, who was pretty much the fairgrounds announcer for many years. And so local guys. But then when I got into actually calling races and trying to call races, Dave Johnson, and down the stretch they come. I sent him a tape of mine, and he kind of critiqued me and told me I should do this or do that. You know, I was I didn't know what I was doing, you know, but he says, you know, you should call the horses in order instead of just naming them, like, in other words, third or
yep.
fourth or fifth,
yep.
instead of just naming them. I was just kind of rattling off names, and I had, there was no concept, and when you listen to the audio of where they were on the track, I was just mumbling words around. But so those are the, obviously Dave Johnson, a big influence on a lot of sure. Race callers' career of my era, and things obviously have evolved, and the great Tom Durkin is, you know, he's up there on the pedestal, and Trevor Denman obviously he changed the lexicon of the North American race caller, and yeah. He also changed the style in that callers never really used to call close finishes, or even the second or third or fourth horse back in the day, because the tracks didn't want that. You know, you just say who was in front and that's it. Or if it was close, you just say photo. I mean, even like a half a length, that, you know, when obviously horse A1, you wouldn't say.
Right.
So, you know, so he gave, I think, you know, the style of calling a twist in new dimension here in the States.
Well, for my money, the early 90s Breeders' Cups, the early to mid 90s Breeders' Cups, Tom Durkin, mm-hmm. that was his prime, and nobody has touched it that I've ever heard, but he was just amazing. But I want to go, what was your favorite Preakness that you've called? I mean, you've called 27 of them. There has to be a couple that stick out.
Well, I mean, initially it was probably the 1997 Preakness Silver Charm, mm-hmm. Captain Bodge at Treehouse in the freeway photo, as they emerged from the shadow of the Pimlico Grandstand into the sunshine right at the wire at about 6:20, whatever PM it was. Now
that's
the race
cool.
is going to
wow.
be a little bit later. You know, those are back in, I would call them the screening days when really, like you say, a little more leeway maybe, to try to be heard over the crowd. And I know, you know, my call wasn't over TV. So, I think the style stylistically now it's obviously a little bit different, but you know, I would say a Fleet Alex, mm-hmm. would probably be right up there, you know, getting wiped out by Scrappy T and the remarkable athleticism of Horse and Rider with Jeremy Rose and Fleet Alex. Smarty Jones wasn't a close finish, but in dimension scope, you know,
it was huge.
Yeah, I remember going, the part of the cool part of being or working there and is going back to the stakes barn after the race. And that was my first experience saying, wow, this is really cool, because half of Philadelphia was here. And there were so many people back there. It was like a mini city, you know, and it was like a mob scene. and so that was probably it. And of course, there's, you know, historical moments like Rachel Alexander with the Philly winning.
Sure.
And obviously American Pharoah. I mean, Durkin made it through his career without calling a Triple Crown winner, right? So.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So I thought, well, maybe it's not going to happen to me either. So finally being part of a horse that won the Triple Crown calling that middle leg. But that was a story in and of itself, obviously, with the rainstorm and not being able to actually see the horses warm up or warm up the colors. That was about as nervous as I've been since 1991, my first Preakness.
Is that where you got the name Rod Dog?
Oh, Rod Dog.
or how about Marty with the party?
Rod Dog was given to me, I think, by Paul Randall in the press box a long time ago.
I love it.
It was kind of like,
so cool.
It's a derivation of Snoop Dogg. It's two D's and two G's, by the way.
That's great.
And
That's great.
And Marty with the party was my old radio air name before I got into racing. I'd been to the track, obviously, as a fan, was still a fan, but radio was the first career. So that was Marty with the party, and he finished last, by the way, as a horse named Marty with the party.
Yeah.
He finished last a couple days ago.
I remember this.
Yeah, Mary Epler named that horse after my old radio name just to get my attention, I guess.
Dave, what do you do the day after Preakness?
He drinks Sagamore Rye.
Are you exhausted? Are you blown out?
That beer, or the rye, or the rye.
Yeah, the rye. Yes. Yeah, the rye goes down
yeah.
smooth that day.
That's great.
Yeah,
the rye.
He drinks a lot of it that day. Not too much. Not too much. Not too much to get drunk. Just enough to wet the whistle.
I mean, I used to sleep very late, obviously, from a long day. But, you know, when you get older, you're afraid you might not wake up. So I tend to wake up at 6 a.m. again.
That's great. No. So what do you think of this race? No, what do you think of this lineup? What do you think of this heat?
Who's going to win?
Weather's
Dave?
Looking amazing. Does that play a role? I mean, obviously, Derby, the weather played a role as well. But now, I mean, things are looking great here.
Well, I mean, the way Always Dreaming is training, it seems like you can't hold him back. He's much more subtle with the draw rings. Oh, this morning I just watched the gallop, and he was bucking and kicking. And I mean, he's eager to go. He's ready to go. I can only go by what I've seen, and horses do train, gallop, and work since the Derby. I mean, I like Cloud Computing's work couple days at Belmont. Yeah. I mean, I thought he was sharp. Guanabara looked very, very good as well. But, you know, he's a deep closer, but that doesn't mean that he can't make an impact here, possibly even win. I mean, if Always Dreaming gets very sharp up front and doesn't relax, which I think he will.
Just wait till we throw a surprise at him, put recruiting ready in the race. We're going to give all kinds of chances to Guanabara. That's not going to happen, Dave. I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen.
I'm just wondering. I have my scoop here. But
breaking news.
It's, I mean, again, you have to expect the unexpected and can't really script out too much because, you know, we're always assuming that they're going to break as their running line show on paper. And even though it's a smaller field than the Derby, well, we saw how much traffic trouble horses had in the Derby.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't leave out Classic Empire. I've not seen him, but I do want to see him. And I thought he ran the best of all.
Me too.
In the Derby. Because it was pretty obvious the inside was kind of the place to be.
He got eliminated at the start, so.
And if you look at the shot from the above angle shot, just isolate Classic Empire, he was finishing so strongly. But again, we don't know if that's going to translate back 2 weeks later and he'll run the same race again. But I would think that I think he threw some morning line. He said he's going to probably lean to make Always Dreaming 4-5 and maybe Classic Empire second choice in the race. I mean,
at three to one or something like that.
Yeah, I think 7-2, but that could change. Yeah. Sure, it's exactly right. So,
sure.
I mean, for wagering purposes, I would say he's a good play.
I agree.
I don't bet the races I call, much less the Preakness. So,
wise man.
And I used to bet the races I call a long time ago, and I found out when I'm practicing to get my first job that it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, yeah, Rod Dog, we appreciate you joining us on the program today.
Yeah, good stuff.
Great stuff. And by the way, too, I love the way you call the Sagamore horses. You always point out the Sagamore colors, or not always, but a lot of the time. And we really, really appreciate it. And
I know it's a spirit of Maryland, and we appreciate what Sagamore does to rebuild the racing industry and help the industry and bring it back to, you know, to its glory days, and I think we're getting to that point.
We're trying, and I heard today that you haven't been out here since Kevin's bought the farm. So this is an open invitation. Anytime you want to come out,
exactly. I'm planning on doing that very soon, probably next month.
Great, thank you, Dave. Well, good luck calling the Preakness.
Thanks, Dave. We'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see you Saturday. I hope it's a safe trip for all the horses, and Godspeed. Well, I threw in a Godspeed there. Don't know what that was.
Like, walk us through that.
I was trying not to say. I
think, it's a tough week ahead.
Well, there
it's
was, some, tough there was week something. Ahead. I was saying, like, not. I'd said good luck already.
Yeah.
So I think I just run out of. The lexicon was running low on words. Mm. So then I just said Godspeed. That's what I chose.
Okay. Well, God bless America. You can do anything you want. So. Freedom of speech.
Hopefully there's Dave Rodman has a good call though on Saturday. That was cool. And he'd jump in and out
of character like that.
What a nice guy.
Yeah,
I meant to ask him about that one guy, the Tampa Bay announcer, and I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to do that next time.
Yeah.
Rod Dog.
Well,
Marty with the party.
We'll wrap this up while the wrapping's good here. It might be too late. Preakness week, everybody. Maryland's greatest
day.
How
many people do you think have actually gotten through this whole podcast? Of the seven that we have, how many are left? Two right now?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
What is it? What were you just saying?
Have a great week, everybody. Happy Preakness.
Happy Preakness. Hey, what is it? Wednesday. Call out the Wednesday thing again.
And if you're not going to the track, come down to the distillery. Come check it out. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Tours again Monday through Sunday. 7 days a week. 10 to 5. Come check it out. Yep. Lots
going on. 10 to 5 every day.
Yeah, 10 to 5 every day. Come check it out. You can book online. Come down and hang out. Waterfront property. Absolutely gorgeous. 50-minute tour. Sample some whiskeys. Amazing experience. Come see the distillery, the community's distillery, and here in your backyard.
Happy Preakness, recruiting ready, and Chubby Star. Let's go get them on Saturday.
Good luck, Sagamore.